Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord. We are so excited that you all could join us on the podcast today. We have a wonderful guest. Her name is Cindy Bartelli. Cindy is a successful Christian author, speaker, coach, and frequent podcast guest. Cindy's many years as a human resource director and as a business owner paved the way for great entrepreneurial experiences. She loves business. While gaining all of this business experience, however, she was simultaneously exposed to a series of traumas, diseases, family deaths, breakups, and losses that added up to a mountain of secret heartbreak. As a result, Cindy cultivated a new relationship with our triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As she matured spiritually in her relationship with the Lord and discovered her deep love and miraculous ability to heal all wounds from her past, through much prayer and ministry training, Cindy now combines her business background with her passion for helping others to seek healing from the Lord. In 2017, she published her first book, The Heart Healer, God's Response to Personal Prayer in a Hurting World, which has brought a new level of hope to readers in many aspects of their lives. The Heart Healer was soon followed by The Heart Healer Study Guide. Both books are now available in English and Spanish. They are presented privately and in group settings across the U.S. Cindy's passion and mission are to connect the hearts of people to the heart of God. Doors open to healing from our past in extraordinary ways by knowing the Lord on a very personal level and recognizing His great love for us. Cindy will share with us about how heartbreak impacts us, even heartbreak and trauma experienced as children. And at the end of our episode, she has a free gift for all our listeners. Cindy and her husband, Terry, have been married for almost 40 years. They currently reside in the hill country of Central Texas. They have 4 children and 6 grandchildren. She specializes in podcast guesting and leads online classes for group leaders of the Heart Healer globally. Aside from her book, The Heart Healer, Cindy has a wonderful program called Relationship Reality, and she's here today to share with us about that. Thank you so much for joining us again, Cindy.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. Yes, come on. Let's share with the listening audience about your Relationship Reality program.
Actually, I have been teaching Relationship Reality even longer than the Heart Healer. And so what has happened is over the years, the Lord said, you know, I would focus on one thing, Relationship Reality, on the other, Heart Healer. And finally, I realized, well, you know, what God's telling me is to merge it all together. And so that's when I put together the new and improved Relationship Reality, I'm going to say probably about 9 years ago.
Awesome.
What Relationship Reality includes is, I call it my relationship trifecta. It's 3 parts, 3 components that really answer what makes you, you. And so people don't realize that it isn't just birth order. It isn't just, you know, one thing or another that makes us who we are. There are different things that influence us, right? And so with Relationship Reality, I talk about the 3 things that are the most vital, at least with regard to my set of experiences and training. And they include God's design, which is the personality He gives us when He forms us in our mother's womb. And those personalities, there are four different basic personalities that I teach. And when people understand what those personalities are, introvert, extrovert, people-oriented, task-oriented, then they're able to also learn about their natural strengths and weaknesses and emotional needs. And so it's a real eye-opening experience because they go, oh my goodness, well, no wonder I'm not like my mom, or I'm not like my dad, or my children are not like me, because we can make the mistake of thinking everyone should be like us if they're in the bloodline, right? The other component is learned behavior. And learned behavior is just our life experiences and training that the Lord, brings us through. And through those life experiences and those training experiences we have, it could be like dad at the dinner table saying, now it's not right to lie. Or mom says, don't take gum at the grocery store that you didn't pay for. Those kinds of things start in small doses when we're little, but we learn in time the difference between right and wrong, and of course learn about the Word of God and hopefully, lots of good lessons, not just tough lessons, as we get through life. The
Amen.
third component, Yolanda, is the heartbreak that we experience, wounds to our souls and our spirits. And that is where heart healing comes in. Because when we're not understood, I can't tell you how many times I'll have a workshop and people will be there, and I'll ask the question, how many of you feel like when you were growing up, you were not understood? And a high percentage of people raise their hands. Well, when they don't understand, when they're raised by people who don't understand the personalities, the differences in our design, and maybe the differences in life experiences, we can have wounds from that, where expectations for us are not appropriate because maybe I'm an introvert and I don't have it in me to be that public speaker my dad wants me to be, or whatever the case may be. It's really very diverse, the exposure to the heartbreak. And so we kind of take that. What I'll do is I'll finish explaining this trifecta to you because I really want your feedback too. What we do is take that, the three components of the trifecta, and we just say, look, there's God's design, there's what you've learned about how you should behave, not what just naturally you're, gifted for. And then also that third component is how trauma, how heartbreak changes the way we behave, the way we send and receive information, and how that affects our behavior and our relationships as well. So those three components together really have a huge impact on how we accept ourselves and how we maximize who we are and how we relate to other people as well.
That is awesome, Cindy. Now, let me ask you a question. So I know that you incorporate the Word of God with the format
Yes.
for re relationship reality, but also talk about how it's so important for people to know how much the Lord loves them and accepts them just the way they are. Isn't that the first place where you have to start?
It's exactly the first place where I start, Yolanda, because so many people, they feel that because they're not like a person who has expectations for them, they're not worthy, or they're not good enough, or they'll never amount to whatever anything that that person is expecting from them. And so at an early age, people can start losing hope in who they are and how God designed them. They don't understand that it's okay to be different in especially in the way that we are compelled to communicate and live our lives. So, for example, let me just give you this one interesting fact. So, one of the personalities, one of the introverted personalities, is very meticulous, very, very organized. Well, that person is just a real gift to many people because they can just be so creative and organize things so well. But an opposite personality from that person is the charming, outgoing, talkaholic person who's great with public speaking and who's great with being the life of the party, but the two just are totally opposite ends of the spectrum. Well, one can expect the other to be like them, and right away, relationships can begin to be destroyed. So, in the Word of God, when we think about Scripture, and for example, in Romans chapter 14, we read, "So then make it your top priority to live a life of peace and harmony in your relationships, eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage each other." Well, is that really happening when we don't understand why that other person isn't behaving the way we think they should? I love to tell the story in marriages where people get frustrated about not squeezing the tube of toothpaste the right way. You know, one person will have it all crumpled up, and the other person is going, "No, you." I have a niece who's that meticulous person, and she even has her tube of toothpaste in a rolling thing that you insert it in, and then you
Fun
just keep it rolled so it's perfectly shaped all the time. Well, imagine marrying someone who isn't squeezing that toothpaste the right way. How do you live in unity and harmony when even those little things start to get to
Amen. And the thing about it is the Lord's will and desire for us is to live in peace with one another. You know, especially our homes should be a peaceful place, you know, not absence of conflict, but at least where we understand. I remember before my dad passed, we were talking about relationships, and he said, just learn to get along with one another, you know, be it your husband, your mother, your siblings, you know. And that was just wisdom from his day, you know, that you just have to get along with one another.
So true. My husband was listening to the news the other day, and this specialist, I forget what his title was being interviewed. And they said, with all the chaos in the world, all the things going on, even with artificial intelligence and all the technology and all the emotions and all the, things going on right now, what's the number one thing that you would tell parents and people who are influencers to do to move forward in this society, in this culture? And he said, it is to learn to accept each other for who we are, to develop relationships properly, and to really make those as rich as possible, improve our communication skills, and be real with each other and be understanding. I thought that really validated relationship reality.
Yes. Because I remember you mentioned when we first talked that you open up some of the segments of your ministry with a true story, with real life stuff, and explain why that is so important.
Well, people learn from stories, don't they? And look at Jesus in the New Testament, how he spoke in parables many times to illustrate points. There are some well-known preachers who are well-loved who tell stories a lot. And that's actually what drives what I do, because personal stories or true stories of people I have been in contact with help us all learn even more. So I can tell you that when I first learned about the personalities that I'm talking about, I was a single mom and I had two little girls. They were ages 7 and 8. And I thought, well, they're my children. They should be like me. And, I would expect them to do things the way I wanted them done. And that's not to say, the difference between sin, evil, and good types of things, but let's say be able to organize the kitchen pantry versus spending all her time talking with everybody in the neighborhood, So those kinds of things were present on my mind, and I knew I needed help as a parent because I was really consumed by a lot of responsibility, and really I was dealing with wounds to my soul as well. So I went to this Christian seminar for parents, and during the seminar they did a skit and illustrated the four basic personalities. And I had not realized until I saw this skit with these four kids that one of my daughters really had a need for me to spread the peanut butter on her bread evenly. I didn't know that that was actually an emotional need, but it meant a lot to her to have that peanut butter spread to every edge. And I used to just slap it on and go, "Here, go." The other daughter didn't really care because she was interested in other things. And so learning those differences, as minor as they may seem, all come together for great good, because learning just spreading how to spread the peanut butter is a beginning. And then you know, oh, she needs time alone each day. When she gets home from school, don't expect her to talk, talk, talk and come spend time with you. Give her time alone. Or he needs time, with people, because he's spending too much time alone. He has an emotional need to be around people. And so those kinds of things may sound minor, but let's just kind of fast forward from my history to the pandemic. And I'll tell you the story of my daughter and her two daughters. Her family was living in another state. I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and so they were in another state that was stricter about the isolation and being quarantined. And so they were not able to get out and see people as much as we were here. And the four of them, husband, wife, and the two daughters, of the four, three were extroverts who love people. And the fourth was an introvert who really needed time, quiet time, needed some time alone. Got overwhelmed by too many people and too much talking all the time. And so the three who were the talkers and the extroverts always wanted to invite someone over on the weekend to come party, in terms of having dinners and laughing in the backyard and being social. And she would say, "Can't we just have one weekend without so many people around? Can't we just not have company for a while?" And the parents would call her their alien, because they couldn't understand why she was so antisocial, when in fact she was very social at the right time and the right way, when she wasn't being so exposed to so many people all the time. In the end, she became quite ill because of this isolation, but the isolation from having things the way she really needed for them to be. And what needed to happen was understanding on both sides, on both parts. But you know, when you're in a crisis like that as a family and as a culture, you don't always see things the way that they need to be seen. Everyone was kind of thrown into this, right?
Right.
But her, the damage done to her, really unintentionally, but it still existed, took a long time to heal. Had they understood the personalities, then they would have realized, you know what? Let's pay attention to what she wants to. Let's have a quiet weekend and let
That's
her
right.
refuel her emotional tank.
That's right. Not only that, too, you mentioned that they called her alien. So now, on
Yes.
top of that, you're
Yes.
labeling her,
Yes.
and she's carrying that thing in her heart and her spirit, causing more emotional damage because you decided to place a label on her.
Exactly. So, and that was part of the damage. That was part of what had to be dealt with. And I can tell you that the time in my life that this all became so real to me was when I had been learning about the personalities, and I had been learning about strengths and weaknesses, and, oh boy, she's really good naturally at this, and he's really good at that. At that point, I even hired my housekeepers based on their personality. I would ask them questions like, "Okay, so this is going to sound a little silly, but in your bedroom at home, in your closet, are your clothes organized by slacks, tops, dresses?" "Oh, yes." And the lady who told me that everything was color coordinated, even by color of hanger, got hired on the spot.
Wow.
And she was amazing. So, I mean, she had strengths I was looking for, because those were not my strengths, and I wanted to utilize hers to make my house nice. So that's a nice little way to put it. But when all of that was already happening, I found out something about my mom that opened up a whole new world of understanding, because I realized, oh my goodness, my mother was so opposite from my father. And a big part of our family history became heartbreaking because dad did not understand God's design for mom. Was he a good person? Yes. Was she? Absolutely. But he didn't understand. And what happened is in my book, The Heart Healer, the first chapter, it opens with me talking about her becoming quite ill and being taken away from our family for months at a time. Two different times when I was a teenager. And both times, I didn't even get to say goodbye. She was so, what's the word? She was so emotionally challenged at that time in her life that she had nervous breakdowns and was put in a psychiatric hospital and received shock treatments. Meanwhile, I was the oldest daughter, so I had to take responsibility for things in the household that I wasn't really prepared for. Didn't do very well. You can ask my siblings now, and they still grimace over my food choices that I would cook for them. My brother said, "You're the only person I know who cannot cook a TV dinner." But during that time, it was funny, but at the same time, I was struggling. And truth is, I finally admitted when I was writing the book that I became suicidal because I didn't know how to deal with all of this without my mom around. And my dad was a workaholic. He was that personality that got his, refueling from accomplishments from work. So what happened is, I found out later, my mother's nervous breakdown was related to my father wanting her to be like him. He would pressure her before she became ill. He would pressure her to get involved in the community, to get out there and help build his business because he had a retail business. He wanted her to help make connections with the community so that the business would grow. Well, that's all fine, but not for her because she was a very routine person, quiet, who really wanted to keep life uncomplicated. But her greatest emotional need was to have peace. So to keep peace, she did what he told her to do. So she went out in the community, became a member of this club and that club and, PTA and Junior Service League, things like that. But because she was such a sweetheart, they voted her president. So that made life more complicated for her. Gave her more responsibility. So you can see where this headed. She just wound up so out of her comfort zone, so pressed to be someone she wasn't really designed to be, that it got her to the point that she fell apart two times in 2 years and was taken away from us both times for 3, 4 months. So our family was devastated, Yolanda. And the thing is, it all went back to not understanding what her natural strengths were and what she could do for him to build the business with her natural strengths and not with being who he thought she should be.
It had such a huge impact on your family, and I'm sure so many other families, even till this day.
To this day.
Till this day, absolutely. You mentioned that there are certain questions that you would ask when you would hire your housekeeper. Let me ask you this: on your profile, just share some of the things that you ask your clients to complete on the profile.
I use some standard profiles, and those profiles narrow down results that are very similar with almost every personality assessment you take. A lot of people take these, right? There are different versions of them. One that does not compare is the Enneagram because that's a more complicated thing. But most of the personality assessments that are out in the general public, besides that one, result in four different personality answers. And that is the two extroverts, the two introverts. One of the extroverts is people-oriented, one is task-oriented, and of the introverts, one is people-oriented and one is task-oriented. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that people would be able to identify what their loved one's personality is just by knowing what I just told you. But as you come to understand these personalities, it's pretty easy to start grasping, whoa, so if this person is naturally an extrovert and naturally talkative, it makes sense that that would be a good person to ask to make phone calls for a campaign or to help plan a party or to be speaking at an event, right? And it does make logical sense when you find out that a person is an introvert who's task-oriented. Wow, they must do tasks really well because they're introverts and they're very focused, right? And so you can start putting logic and reason together once you know you can divide these personalities into four different components.
Wow. I was looking at one of your flyers from the website, and it said that relationship reality is fun, it's informative, it begins with changing you. Talk about how it's so difficult for most people to look at themselves and begin to change or allow the Lord through the Word of God to change them first.
Well, doesn't that begin with surrendering ourselves to Christ?
Amen.
And as we submit our lives to Christ and are willing to say, Lord, okay, I'm not handling my life very well on this earth. And I understand that you are the Son of God. And once we can grasp, whoa, who he is and what he did for us, died on the cross, sacrificed his life for us, his human life for us, and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Then the part of accepting God as our Savior is very well known, right? I mean, okay, he died for us and we surrender to him. He saves us, he redeems us. But that Lord and Savior, the way I see that is if he's going to be our Lord, we're ready to submit to his guidance. We're ready to say, okay, Lord, lead me, guide me, and show me the way to be that person. And you and I might hear the term sanctification, to become the person that God wants us to be molded into that holiness goal that he has for us. What I submit is that as he's doing that with us, he is the creator of all mankind, right? So if God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is the creator of all mankind, then wouldn't he understand the four basic personalities? And wouldn't he be able to say to us things like, okay, you're a workaholic, you're very, you're a great implementer, but you're too driven. You strive too much for accomplishment. So here we are, sir, the super achiever. Wonderful. Let's use you for that purpose, but we're going to modify. And that's when scripture comes in to help us with things like humility and, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I mean, who of us, no matter what our personality is, has victory over all those categories, right?
Right, we cannot.
So the Lord takes the ones that are most important to us, where we need the most molding and shaping, and He helps us become aware of those things.
Amen. That is beautiful. This God is just such a loving and kind God.
Oh,
Cindy,
He is.
yes, let's do this. Let's say there are some listeners right now and they're really struggling. Let's say there's a lot of chaos, confusion, and in their lives, and they just don't understand God's design for them, or even try to understand, the people in their household. Would you go ahead and give them some encouraging words?
Well, what I would love to say to people is to be ready to love people unconditionally, just as Jesus loves us. And when we're considering not just ourselves, but others, to be able to say, you know what? I mean, God designed me, He designed this other person, and I need to choose to love them. That doesn't mean that what they always do is right, it doesn't mean what that other person does is always safe. But I need to accept people for who they are in terms of their natural design. Don't have to accept sin, don't have to accept anything that harms us. But at the same time, let's just focus on that one person, on ourselves. And I would say to you, just know, God does not make mistakes. When he designed you, he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So already he had a plan, and he knew the recipe for you would be quiet and organized or quiet and people-oriented. He knew that if you were going to be this implementer, workaholic, extrovert, that he would be using you in that regard in the years to come as you were developed and shaped. And he also knew if you were an extrovert who was very people-oriented, he would use those natural talents for great good. It's part of our destiny. That's why he formed us the way he did, and it wasn't a mistake. No matter what others tell you, no matter what other people's expectations of you are, God's love is not conditional, and he loves you just the way you are.
Amen. That is so beautiful, Cindy. I will share the links that you've sent to me with with your website, and also relationshipreality.org is one of them. Now, would you please go ahead, unless there's something else that you would like to add, then would you please close out this episode in prayer?
I would love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Now, so for those of you who are listening, it's just so important to know that God created you for a purpose, that he loves you, and that his plans for you can be great and many. And if you're struggling right now with who you think you are or who others have expected you to be, and you know in your soul, in your spirit, in your innermost being, this is not right. I know God has a plan for me that's different, that's strong, that's better, that's vital. I just don't know what that is. And I need to be able to grasp the reality of that. I want to pray with you. And if you've been wounded by wrong expectations, by people thinking that you should be like them, or like my father was with my mother, that you should accomplish things based on what someone else's expectations for you are, and you've been hurt by that, I want to pray for you as well. So no matter where you are as you're listening to this right now, I hope you'll join me in prayer and let's connect. Just know that God is a very personal God. He's not just on his throne up in the heavens. He can be very real. And scripture says that he's near to the brokenhearted and he rescues those who are crushed in spirit. That might be you today. So as you're listening to this, just know he is so near and he is so ready to show you his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are amazing. Your love for us has no boundaries. And thank you for that, Lord God. And I pray that every person listening, every person joining us in prayer right now, is able to tap into that love, can connect their hearts to your heart right now, and sense your presence. And I pray that as we communicate with you, as we talk with you, and we turn our hearts to you, that you would just come into each person and heal any places in their hearts that are wounded because of wrong expectations, wounded by people who said things that hurt them, or they bullied them, or they tried to force them to behave in a way that wasn't really of you. We pray that you heal each one of those places in their hearts. Even at this very moment, calm their souls and replace their pain with your peace. And we pray for those who haven't understood what you've intended for them in life by your design for them. We pray that you give them ears to hear, that you give them the ability to see and understand that your plans for them are great and many, and that you have a lot in store for them ahead. Help them learn and understand who they are naturally and how you design them to be. We pray you make a way for that to happen. We love you, Lord. We rejoice. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do and for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you so
Amen.
much, Cindy. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you until we meet again.